Just to give you a picture of what's going on in the bond world, you see the 30-year yield reaching new all-time lows, 1.89% on the 30-year treasury. You see the dollar having its worst sell-off versus its peers of 2020. Gold shooting higher. A big question of what's driving this. Is it just the fear that the coronavirus is spread is bleeding into the services and industries in the United States, previously thought to be a little more immune? Or is this something larger? Joining us now is Mark Rosenberg, founder and chief executive officer of GeoQuant, which is based in San Francisco and looks at the geopolitical risk generally in the global picture. He's also an adjunct professor at Columbia University. Mark, can you give us a landscape here? We talk a lot about the coronavirus and what the potential bleed through could be on industries, but then economists say, well, there's going to be a V-shaped recovery. But on the political front, is there something that's going to be equally potentially difficult for markets to digest on the political sphere?
Sure. I think with a health risk like the coronavirus, you want to look at the implications for social instability in the countries affected, and in turn, the stability of the government. Now, those generally have more latent effect on markets. But I think when it comes to a large economy like China, if there were indications that this virus was disrupting kind of social stability in the country, or if there was news, as there has been of late, that it may be weakening the government, then I think you can get some concern around the potential of the government to respond to a shock like a health, like a disease outbreak like the coronavirus.
So, Mark, we obviously are getting into the heat of the election cycle here. We kind of know where President Trump stands on a number of issues that are important to markets and investors. How are you, when you talk to clients, how are you framing up the Democratic side of the field?
For us, it's really about the strength of the Democratic Party and kind of more generically the opposition to the incumbent versus, you know, the Trump administration or the current incumbent. And, you know, according to our models, that's probably the primary driver of Trump's likely reelection right now is in fact, the weakness, the relative weakness of the Democratic Party as an opposition party, as demonstrated, I think, by some of the dysfunction in the primary process, by the still unclear field, the growing likelihood that a more kind of divisive extreme candidate like Bernie Sanders will be the nominee. Those are the factors driving, you know, what we call kind of institutional risk, institutional support risk for the administration. That risk is down as the Democratic Party looks weaker and weaker.
So let's talk a little bit about the Democratic Party. It seems like after this week's debate, it was the first that Michael Bloomberg, who is founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP and this radio station, was a participant. The Bernie Sanders appeared to consolidate a lot of his support. People thought that he emerged a winner. They also thought, though, that President Trump consolidated his win, given the fact that there was a lot of cross, you know, circular firing squad type of activity. How significantly do you think the Democrats were set back?
I'm not sure the debate itself was any kind of critical juncture in setting back the Democrats. I think it was more a symptom of, you know, what we saw in the previous debates and then the primaries and caucuses so far, which is, you know, a field that's heavily divided, and a group of candidates that all, you know, ostensibly agree on the goal of defeating Donald Trump and uniting to do so, but are now just inherently engaged in a process, the primary process, where they're in some ways making that less likely because they are fighting against each other as opposed to the common, you know, quote-unquote enemy.
So, Mark, Bernie Sanders is leading in the polls right now. Can he beat President Trump?
In according to our models, and again, you know, these are kind of generic incumbent survival models, no, in that Bernie Sanders will be a candidate that would have trouble uniting the Democratic Party, and as such would weaken the strength of the opposition vis-a-vis the incumbent, and so the incumbent would be more likely to win. The scenarios we're running with our models, the Sanders candidacy makes a Trump reelection more likely.
What about Pete Buttigieg? What about Michael Bloomberg, whose performance was panned pretty significantly by most of the coverage following the debate?
Again, generically a more moderate candidate, more capable of winning swing voters, of winning suburban white voters in key swing states that are, in many cases, the key to the election, is likely to beat Trump, right? And more and certainly makes Trump's reelection less likely. So in our models, it's a relatively simple trade-off between a candidate that is more likely to win, you know, what political scientists call the median voter, and which in the case of key states is really a swing voter, or one less likely to win those voters. And in our model, Sanders is less likely, whereas a more moderate candidate is more likely.
So, Mark, is there any indication that if Bernie Sanders gets the nomination, that he or the Democratic Party could move him more to the center to maybe appeal to some of those swing voters? Do you kind of put any of those odds in your model?
We don't model that directly. That does make kind of common political sense and is generally the way party candidates run in the general election. They generally pivot more to the center in order to capture a larger swath of the electorate. Sanders has made a career of not doing that. And so just anecdotally, it suggests that that kind of dynamic is maybe less likely this time around. But to be sure, you know, with a more generic candidate, that's exactly what you would expect to happen. And given, again, that all Democratic candidates are at least vocally saying their priority is beating Trump, that would be the right strategy. It's just not clear that that is what will actually happen.
Mark, just real quickly here, I'm wondering, based on history, how soon does the Democratic field have to shrink or consolidate support behind one or two candidates in order to have a better chance going forward of defeating President Trump?
So there isn't really a clear historical pattern. I think, you know, the primary calendar, in terms of opposition beating incumbents, you know, the primary calendar is relatively set in the United States. And so there isn't really a kind of date by which the Democrats need to, you know, coalesce or form a coalition by which they make their success in the election more likely. I think the general rule in this case is the sooner the better.
Mark Rosenberg, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate your thoughts. Mark Rosenberg, founder and CEO of GeoQuant, also an adjunct professor at Columbia University. He is based in San Francisco. Some interesting commentary about the election and kind of what their models are showing. And it appears to be, you know, from Mark's comments, you know, pretty predisposed or you know, towards President Trump getting reelected, unless, you know, maybe the field somehow coalesces around a candidate and maybe can put up a stronger fight.
Yeah, and then there'll be the question of whether any candidate on the Democratic side could get something done without the both sides of Congress. Meanwhile, I should just mention that right now, Fed funds futures are pricing in a full half a percentage point rate cut through the end of 2020. So really shifting their rate cut expectations forward.